Welcome to the Neuracast Tech Briefing. I am your host, and today we are looking at a major academic step forward in how artificial intelligence handles 3D modeling, specifically a new system out of MIT called GenCAD.
We are also going to look at a clever, low-tech way open-source maintainers are fighting back against a massive wave of AI bot spam on GitHub. And we will take a deep dive into the technical problem of context rot in autonomous coding agents.
Plus, we have a roundup featuring some new privacy automation tools, a local-first note-taking application, and a few quality-of-life updates requested for Claude Code. Let's get right into it. First up today, let's talk about GenCAD. If you have spent any time playing with generative AI for 3D modeling, you probably know that the current state of the art usually spits out a mesh or a point cloud. Those look incredibly cool on your screen, but if you hand a mesh file to a mechanical engineer, they are going to laugh you out of the room.
Exactly. Meshes are basically just a hollow shell made of thousands of little triangles. They have absolutely no parametric history. You cannot just click on a hole in a mesh and tell the software to change its diameter from 5 millimeters to 6 millimeters. If you are designing a bracket for an aerospace application, you need to run structural simulations, and meshes often break those simulations because they do not define solid volumes mathematically in the same way.
That is the exact problem GenCAD is trying to solve. Developed by MIT researchers including MD Firdaus Alam and Fayez Ahmed, GenCAD is an AI system designed to convert 2D images directly into editable, parametric 3D CAD programs.
The key difference here is the output format. Instead of generating a static shape, GenCAD actually outputs a sequence of CAD commands. It uses what is known as boundary representation, or BREP. That means the file it generates can be opened up in standard professional engineering software, and all the individual steps used to create that shape are right there in the feature tree, ready to be modified.
They have also introduced a follow-up project called GenCAD 3D, which handles more complex geometries and inputs like point clouds and meshes. To train that, they used a synthetic data augmentation strategy called SynthBall. Getting paired data of 2D images and their exact CAD command sequences is incredibly difficult. SynthBall helps bridge that gap by generating synthetic training pairs.
The promise here is huge for automated reverse engineering. Imagine snapping a photo of a broken, obsolete manufactured part and having the AI generate the exact sequence of CAD operations needed to machine a perfect replacement.
However, there is a lot of ongoing debate about its reliability and practicality. Users and critics have noted that the model currently struggles heavily with reliability. If you feed it anything outside of its specific training data, or a simple isometric image with a bit too much noise, it often fails to produce a valid CAD output.
And the scope of operations it can handle is still quite limited. Right now, the implementation is primarily focused on pads, or extrusions. It cannot yet handle the complex features that are incredibly common in real-world mechanical design, like fillets, chamfers, or revolve operations.
Which leads to a bigger philosophical question in the engineering space. Can programmatic CAD generation ever match the efficiency and control of a professional human-driven workflow? A human designer builds a part with design intent, structuring the feature tree logically so that future modifications do not break the entire model.
Right. An AI might arrive at the correct final geometry, but it might use a chaotic, completely illogical sequence of commands that makes the file impossible to cleanly edit later. It is the classic problem of AI generating code that works, but is completely unmaintainable. Still, proving that a model can reliably output BREP commands instead of just pixel data is a massive hurdle cleared. Bridging the gap between 2D images and parametric history is one of the hardest problems in computational geometry, and GenCAD is definitely a project to watch as the training data and model architectures improve.
Moving to our next story, we are looking at a fascinating low-tech defense against a very modern problem, AI agent spam. The story is titled, "We Stopped AI Bot Spam in Our GitHub Repo Using Git's /author flag."
This comes from the team at Orchestra. For some context, Orchestra is an open-source agentic gateway, They are literally building tools to secure AI agents by intercepting requests between large language models and applications to enforce governance and prevent unauthorized tool access.
So they are intimately familiar with AI agents. But recently, they found their own GitHub repository completely overrun by automated slop. As AI agents get better at interacting with code repositories, maintainers are facing a surge in bot accounts opening useless pull requests and cluttering up issue trackers.
We've seen this kind of AI slop on platforms like Hacker News and Reddit, but seeing it hit raw code repositories is a new frontier. These bots are likely testing out agentic capabilities, or maybe trying to farm reputation by submitting superficial pull requests. Either way, it is a massive drain on maintainer time.
To fight back, Orchestra implemented a new defense strategy that blocked at least 500 AI-generated bot spam accounts within just the first week. And they did it entirely by leveraging existing version control features.
First, they enabled GitHub's require prior contribution setting. That stops brand new accounts from just dumping automated code into the repository. Then, they set up a continuous integration script that requires users to pass a website-based CAPTCHA.
The CI script literally pauses the workflow, sends a link to a web-based CAPTCHA, and waits for a human to click the traffic lights or crosswalks. Once a human user actually passes that CAPTCHA, the CI script automatically creates a small co-authored commit on their behalf to authorize the user.
That single co-authored commit satisfies the prior contribution requirement, and the user is then free to interact with the repository normally. It is a brilliant use of the author flag to establish identity verification without requiring a massive overhaul of the repository's infrastructure.
It does spark a debate about friction in open source development, though. A core tenet of open source is making it as easy as possible for someone to contribute. If a developer has to go to a separate website, solve a CAPTCHA, and wait for a CI script just to fix a typo in a README file, doesn't that discourage legitimate new contributors?
It is a tough balance, but when you are dealing with a volume of 500 spam accounts a week, the administrative burden on the maintainers is completely unsustainable. The era of assuming every GitHub account is a human being acting in good faith is over.
Exactly. Maintainers are having to build their own moats against non-human actors. We are likely going to see more repositories adopting these kinds of vouching systems or reputation-based access controls, and this CAPTCHA-to-commit pipeline is one of the most creative solutions we have seen so far.
For our final deep dive, we are sticking with the theme of autonomous coding agents, but looking at a critical limitation in how they process information over time. There is an open issue on the Anthropic GitHub repository titled Feature Request: Expose Context Window Utilization to Hooks.
This issue, number 63020, is asking for a very specific environment variable, Claude Context Percent. The users want an integer from 0 to 100 that represents exactly how full the model's context window is, and they want it exposed to hook scripts on every single invocation.
The reasoning behind this request is fascinating. The users have built a custom write-ahead log, or wall, system for Claude code. In traditional database architecture, a write-ahead log ensures data integrity by recording changes before they are actually committed to the main database. Applying this concept to the context window of a large language model is a brilliant adaptation.
The goal of their system is to prevent context loss across compactions. They report that it works incredibly well, achieving 100% recovery on their first test, but they are running into a problem called context rot during long sessions.
Claude code sessions can handle massive amounts of information, anywhere from 200,000 to 1 million tokens, depending on the specific model. But when you have a million tokens, it is like handing someone a 1,000-page book and asking them to remember a specific instruction from page 4.
Even the best models suffer from the needle in a haystack problem. As that window fills up during long-running autonomous tasks, the model's performance degrades. It starts to lose track of earlier instructions or architectural decisions made at the beginning of the session.
Right now, users have to rely on manual heuristics or use the /context command to track token usage. The agent itself lacks native awareness of its remaining context budget. The custom write-ahead log system tries to mitigate this by re-injecting operating principles and checkpoint data at escalating intervals.
But because those hook scripts have no way to know how full the context actually is, they cannot prevent gradual drift.
If developers had access to that Claude context percent variable, they could build self-regulating workflows that proactively manage context before it becomes a bottleneck. It highlights a really interesting tension in the current generation of AI tools. We want these agents to be autonomous, planning and executing multi-step coding tasks over long periods. But the inherent limitations of large language models mean they need constant programmatic babysitting to keep their working memory clean. The discussion on the issue tracker questions whether an environment variable is the best approach. Some argue that a more robust API or a dedicated tool, like a get context usage function that the model can call itself, would be preferable. But either way, solving context rot is going to be essential if we want these agents to handle truly complex repository-wide refactors.
All right, that covers our deep dives for today. Let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We have got a mix of privacy automation, local first note-taking, and a couple more interesting quality of life requests for Claude Code.
First up in the roundup, a ShowHN post titled Auto Identity Remove, Automated Data Broker Opt-Out Runner for macOS. This is an open source tool created by Stephen Thorne that automates opt-out requests for over 500 data broker and people search websites.
It uses Playwright and Chromium to navigate the sites, bypass cookie banners, and submit the opt-out forms, with specific logic built out for 31 high-traffic brokers. Data brokers are notorious for relisting your profile after an initial removal, so Thorne designed this to run as a scheduled monthly job via macOS LaunchD.
The creator explicitly noted that doing this manually is a weekend you will never get back. And he is right. The dark patterns are intentionally designed to cause fatigue. What is nice from a privacy perspective is that the tool does not store your personal information in the repository itself. It reads your data from a local Git-ignored configuration file.
Next up, another ShowHN post, this one titled Files.md, Open Source Alternative to Obsidian. Created by Artem Zakharulin, this is a local-first knowledge base application that stores all your data in plain markdown files.
It is licensed under the MIT license and really emphasizes simplicity. It features a progressive web app that works offline and an optional Telegram chatbot for capturing notes on the go. Zakharulin explicitly says he is not trying to build a feature parody clone of Obsidian, but rather a tool focused on a lazy flow for adding information.
In the personal knowledge management space, we have seen a massive swing back toward local-first software. People got burned by cloud services shutting down or jacking up subscription prices. This is a minimalist approach for people who find massive plugin ecosystems and graph views more distracting than helpful.
Moving back to Claude Code, we have issue 60303, titled Shift plus Escape. It would pause the escape key acts as a hard stop, immediately canceling the agent's generation. That is great as a panic button, but users are pointing out a productivity bottleneck. If you realize mid-generation that you forgot a crucial constraint or piece of context, your only options are to let it finish and correct it later, or hit escape, lose all momentum, and retype your prompt completely from scratch. This feature request asks for a soft interrupt using Shift plus Escape. It would pause the agent, let you append the new context or correction, and allow the agent to continue. It is a small change that could drastically improve the human-in-the-loop collaboration aspect of the tool.
And finally, another Claude Code request, issue 52214, titled /feature, add 24-hour time format support in /usage dialog.
This is a classic localization friction point. The user reports that the /usage command currently forces a 12-hour AM-PM time format, completely ignoring the system's locale settings, like LC time equals RURU.UTF-8.
It is a common issue with opinionated developer tools, where hard-coded UI elements clash with internationalization standards. When a tool is designed to integrate deeply into a local environment, developers expect it to respect their system-level configurations.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the NARcast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives and roundups from across the tech landscape.
Until then, keep building and stay curious.